I'm joined today by a very special guest. He is Michael C. McDonald. He is joining me today because he's got a book out. It's called From the Bench to the Boardroom, and it is a book that is inspirational. They say inspiration is what, 99% perspiration and 1% just simply guts, as some people have said. He has a background in basketball. He was a scholarship basketball player at Rutgers, and he worked with some of the greatest names in the game, Dick Vitale, Jim Valvano. We were talking about Dr. Tom Davis and some of the other people, Ralph Miller, all of these people that have crossed paths one way or another with Michael C. McDonald. He spent 33 years in sales, marketing, general management at the Xerox Corporation, turning it around with North American Solutions Group, where he was president, later president of Global Accounts and Marketing. He went on to become chairman and CEO of Medifast. And he's now, as I said, written the book From the Bench to the Boardroom, along with Dick Weiss. And there's a foreword by Dick Vitale in there. And I've got Michael with me. Well, Michael, what's the story on Dick? How is he doing? I know he has cancer. Have you spoken with him recently?
Yes, I stay in touch with Dick. In fact, all the proceeds I get from my book are going to Children's Pediatric Cancer, which is Dick's cause. We're both on the board of the V Foundation, and Dick is doing well. He's going through his treatments. He can't broadcast right now because he has some larynx issues and in his throat that he dealt with a couple years ago. But he's making progress and getting through his chemotherapy. And Dick is a fighter, and I expect him to get through this cancer.
Your origins in basketball. Let's put it this way, to put it mildly, you had to fight for every single thing you could get in high school and in college to get to where you were. High school was not an easy experience for you for most of the time, was it?
No, my first 2 years I got cut. I was pretty light. And I got cut, and I played at a high school, Monsignor Bonner High School, that had 2,400 boys. So we'd have 500 or 600 people try out for basketball in the Philadelphia Catholic League. And I didn't make it my first 2 years. I finally got up to 150 pounds, and I made the JV team. But I still only suited up for the varsity once in a while. And when I was on the varsity, I was sitting the bench behind John Cappelletti, who won the Heisman Trophy at Penn State, who was a great football and basketball player. And it wasn't until John and a bunch of them graduated that I finally got to play my senior year, and I ended up in the top 10 scorers in the Philadelphia Catholic League in Philadelphia. And fortunately, I had one great year, which allowed me to get a scholarship to Rutgers University, and I was recruited by Bill Foster, who was a coach who eventually took Duke to the Final Four, coached Utah, Northwestern, South Carolina. Bill was a terrific guy, and he recruited me, but then I didn't get to play for him. He left to go to Utah when I signed, and then Dick Lloyd was the head coach with Dick Vitale as the assistant. And, I was on target. I averaged about 17 points a game as a freshman, and I thought I would have a great chance to play the next year. And Dick Vitale brought in probably the five best players in the school's history. He brought in Phil Sellers, a first-team All-American. We got him from Notre Dame. Mike Dabney was All-State, New Jersey. And when we brought in these guys, I ended up having to play JV my sophomore year because I didn't get a chance to be on the varsity. And then I played on the varsity my junior and senior year, but I sat the bench behind these guys. And we were the 16th ranked team in the country my senior year. We were 22-7, lost to Louisville with Junior Bridgman in the NCAA. And then the following year, I went to work as an assistant at Iona with Jim Valvano, and the team I played with Tenham, they went 31-0, and then they lost to Michigan and UCLA in the Final Four when Indiana went undefeated, in 1976. So it was very disappointing in the sense that I didn't get a chance to play. But on the other side, I was a member of the second team on one of the greatest teams in the history of the university. And, four NBA players were on the team I was on. Eddie Jordan, Hollis Copeland, Sellers. So they all played in the NBA. And it was a wonderful experience. And, you know, I learned a lot. I learned how to handle, you know, frustration and competing and winning and having a winning attitude and getting ready every day to play your role. And, you know, I learned, you know, you didn't have a big ego because, you know, I wasn't, you know, there were games when I just didn't get in the game, you know, at all. And I learned to handle that. And I learned a lot from the many coaches I had. I have a chance to get recruited by Foster to play for Dick Vitale. And Tom Young was a great coach my junior and senior year who was a great player at Maryland and took Rutgers to 200-something wins over 10 years or 12 years, and then he went off to Old Dominion. And then to coach with and learn from Jimmy V. And the thing about Jimmy V was he was the greatest salesman in the world. So when I went there, there was nobody who was a better salesman. Many people say, why'd you have a great career at Xerox? They taught you sales and all that. Well, I learned sales from Jim, and then I learned the process from Xerox.
the team concept is something that obviously has stuck with you in business, in corporate business, the team utilizing the pieces of that team and getting the best out of each member of the team really is what business is all about, isn't it?
Well, it is. And by the way, it's the same in sports. You know, if you don't have people that are willing to accept their roles in sports and understand that, you're not going to have a good team. And, you know, the other thing was that I was not a quitter. If you looked at my career, you know, I wasn't kind of kid like today. You have this transfer portal, kids unhappy for 5 minutes and they're ready to go to the next school. Well, to me, you know, if I would have went to my mother, father said, I'm going to go to the next school. My mother would have said, you're going to get a Rutgers education. You're going to leave a great university. She said, you're not doing that. You know, there wouldn't have been a debate. It was academics first.
You bring up something that I was very curious about, because the transfer portal and this system, you know, obviously created during the pandemic, but that transfer portal has changed. It's changed the game. It's changed football. It's changed basketball. Some people say it has taken that kind of, hey, once you recruit somebody, you train them. Frankly, if you are following at all, if you follow Iowa football or basketball, Iowa has had virtually almost no one through the transfer portal. They've had maybe a handful, I guess, that have left into there. But for the most part, both Fran McCaffrey and Kirk Ferentz, they believe that, hey, once you sign on to the program, you're gonna develop in the program the way they want you to, the style, the Iowa style. You had the Rutgers style.
I totally agree with Fran and Kirk Ferentz. First of all, how can a student athlete really get a good education when they're switching to their third school or their fourth school? And I just don't buy that. I mean, Rutgers had two players leave. Miles Johnson was a fifth-year engineering student, went to UCLA after 4 years. But he went there because he was getting his master's, and UCLA had a better engineering program than Rutgers for the master's. And then we had a kid named Young who went to Oregon. And Rutgers brought in, I think, two players off the portal in basketball, very few. None of them start. And in the football program, they've had a few, but not a lot. But I believe that college should be a four-year experience for kids. And when you have a chance to go to great universities, state universities like Iowa, or great universities like Rutgers, I mean, why would you want to transfer? Plus, you got great coaches. I mean, you got a coach like Fran McCaffrey. He's such a great example, who's an excellent coach, someone you can learn a lot from. And by the way, in the alumni context, and that's the other thing I can say, when I was at Rutgers, I didn't play much, but I had more alumni helping me. I got my job at Xerox through an alum who called me. I was interviewing at IBM, Procter & Gamble, called me, said, look, I have there's an opportunity here at Xerox. Would you be interested? And I went and met the Xerox manager in the basketball office, and it ended up being a wonderful thing for me for the next 33 years. But if I didn't know those alumni, build the relationships, and it's also very hard to build relationships when you're only at college for a year or 2 years. And, you know, when you're at a school for 4 years, you know everybody.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about, there is talk about going to basically play for pay. They're talking about basically giving a salary to university and college players to basically, I guess, be, what, even out the playing field? I don't know. Every time that's been brought up, it seems like it's opening a can of worms. I don't know how you feel on that.
They've already opened that, this thing where you have your image and likeness.
Right, with the image and likeness, yes.
Yeah, they can pay players now. You could pay a player $1 million, just sell them, giving them a marketing deal. So what you're going back to is very wealthy schools who have very wealthy alumni who really want to win badly, may throw a lot of money at kids and cause more issues. I do believe there are poor kids that come into universities that, come from tough areas, that could use some financial assistance. And I think some kind of stipend by a college, to athletes, not a lot, but some to help poor kids. I think that's a positive thing.
Okay.
I think that would be a good thing. As long as it's consistent across all sports, you got to give it to women's sports. You got to give it to men. You have to be fair to every athlete in school. And it should be the same for whether you're on the fencing team or you're on the football team.
Easier said than done, my friend.
Yeah, that's the issue, because that's a lot of athletes. And
yeah.
And the money, and let's face it, the money making sport is always football. And then basketball second, but football always will dominate financially. But I do believe that what Iowa's doing, what Rutgers does, they have good philosophies about education and about sports. And I respect, both of those programs tremendously in the way they operate.
Your career in business spanning all those years and turning business around, and again, utilizing some of the lessons you learned in sports. You talk about Jim Valvano being a salesman. All of that. So if you're, do you attribute sports? Apparently it is. According, if you're reading the book, sports is what gave you the instinct and the perseverance to keep going and to always reach for the higher rung. Is that right?
Yes, I totally agree with that. I think sports teaches you compassion. It teaches you perseverance. It teaches you not to quit. It teaches you, when you win, you really realize what winning's all about and what a great feeling it is to win rather than lose. But the other thing it did for me is it gave me great confidence. I didn't have a lot of confidence in high school. And, it gave me confidence in myself that I could achieve anything I wanted to achieve. And when I really thought about basketball, I said, I'm a great shooter, but I don't jump that well. I'm not real fast, but I could really shoot the ball. But I said to myself, in business, it doesn't matter whether you jump, run, no matter who you are, if you apply yourself and use your brains and your intelligence, you can be as successful as you want. There's no physical limitation on business.
Indeed.
and I thought that was the greatest thing, because I could go out and strive to be the best salesperson, be the best sales manager, be the best executive, be the best, and drive to be the best, and not have any, but there were no impediments. Any impediment was myself. But one of the things I learned, though, that was very important, I learned this a lot from Vitale, a lot from Valvano, you have to be motivated. And if you look at a Dick Vitale, he's 80-something years old. He's as motivated today as he was when he was a coach, when I had him, when he was, 40 years old.
Energy, energy.
Energy level, being positive, realizing you can create a great day for yourself no matter what day it is. And I think that's important, because a great athlete is going to be somebody who can fail. And then the next way, I've had games where I was a freshman, I missed a foul shot and lost again to Princeton. Another game, I hit two shots, one game at the buzzer. You're going to have that happen in sports. And the issue is, you want to make sure you're prepared to do the best you can do. And the other thing I think I did, even in sports, I used my ability to the best I could. I played as hard as I could. I did as well as I could. When I didn't play, it was because the guy was better than me.
Indeed. It is the name of the book is From the Bench to the Boardroom, Inspiration, Perspiration, and also Giving Back, all of those stories. Michael C. McDonald, it's got a lot of basketball, a lot of the big names in basketball coaching, but it's also got stories of how that knowledge, that teamwork, that effort, that perseverance all led to a very successful career. Now giving back, Michael C. McDonald, And the book's available everywhere. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, the book's available on Amazon. You can get it on the internet at Target. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. But Amazon's probably the easiest place now. They sell the most books.
All right. Michael C. McDonald, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Hey, I appreciate it. I hope we have a great Iowa Rutgers game.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
I was going to say, go Scarlet Knights and go Hawkeyes, okay?
Go Hawkeyes. Take care.